and thus it has been said elsewhere, after having left behind the body, the organs of sense, and the objects of sense, as no longer belonging to us, and having seized the bow whose stick is fortitude, and whose string is asceticism, having struck down also with the arrow which consists of freedom from I-sense, the first obstacle to the door of Brahman, for it makes man look at the world egotistically, then taking the diadem of passion, the earrings of greed and envy, and the staff of sloth, sleep and sin, and having seized the bow whose string is anger and whose stick is lust, he destroys with the arrow which consists of wishes all beings. Having therefore demolished that obstacle, he enters by means of the boat Om to the other side of the space within the heart. And when the space becomes revealed as Brahman, he enters slowly, as a miner seeking minerals in a mine, into the hall of Brahman. After that, let him, by means of the doctrine of his teacher, break through the shrine of Brahman, which consists of the four nets of food, breath, mind, knowledge, till he reaches the last shrine, that of bliss and identity with Brahman. Thenceforth pure, clean, undeveloped, serene, breathless, bodiless, endless, imperishable, firm, everlasting, unborn and independent, he stands on his own greatness, and having seen the Supreme Self standing in his own greatness, he looks on the wheel of the world as one who has alighted from a chariot looks on its revolving wheel. And thus it is said, if a man practices yoga for 6 months and is thoroughly free from the outer world, then the perfect yoga, union, which is endless, high, and hidden, is accomplished. But if a man, though enlightened by instruction, is still pierced by the gunas of passion and darkness and attached to this world, children, wife, and house, then yoga is never accomplished. After he had thus spoken to Brihadratha, Shakayanya, absorbed in thought, bowed before him and said, O King, by means of this Brahma knowledge have the sons of Prajapati, the Valakhilyas, gone to the road of Brahman. Through the practice of yoga, a man obtains contentment, power to endure good and bad, and tranquility. Let no man reach this most secret doctrine to anyone who is not his properly appointed pupil or his son, and who is not of a serene mind. Pass it to him alone who is devoted to his teacher and endowed with all the necessary qualities. Om. Having settled down in a pure place, let him, being pure himself and firm in goodness, study the truth, speak the truth, think the truth, and offer sacrifice to the truth. Henceforth, he has become another. By obtaining the reward of Brahman, his fetters are cut asunder. He knows no hope, knows no fear, knows no desire. And having attained the imperishable, infinite happiness, he stands blessed in the true Brahman, who longs for a true man. Freedom from desires is, as it were, the highest prize to be taken from the choicest treasure, Brahman. For a man full of desires, being possessed of will, deliberation, and I-consciousness, is a slave. But he who is the opposite is free. For this reason, let a man stand free from will, deliberation, and I-consciousness. This is the sign of liberty. This is the path that leads to Brahman. This is the opening of the door, and through it he will go to the other shore of darkness. All desires are there fulfilled. And for this they quote a verse. When the five instruments of knowledge stand still together with the mind, and when the intellect does not move, that is the highest way. Having thus said, Shakayana became absorbed in thought. Then the king Brihadrath, having bowed before him and duly worshipped him, went full of contentment to the northern path, for there is none other to Brahman. This is the path. Having burst open the solar door, he rose on high and went away. And here they quote, "There are endless rays for the self who, like a lamp, dwells in the heart. White and black, brown and blue, tawny and reddish. One of them leads upwards, piercing the solar orb. By it, having stepped beyond the world of Brahman, they go to the highest path. The other 100 rays rise upwards also, and on them the worshipper reaches the mansions belonging to the different bodies of deities. But the manifest rays of dim color which lead downwards, by them a man travels on and on helplessly, to enjoy the fruits of his actions here." Someone asks, "Of what nature are those organs of sense that go forth towards their objects? Who sends them out here? Or who holds them back?" Another answers, "Their nature is the self. The self sends them out or holds them back. Also the apsaras, enticing objects of sense, and the solar rays, and other deities presiding over the senses. Now the self devours the objects by the 5 rays, the organs of sense. Then who is the self? He who has been defined by the terms pure, clean, underdeveloped, tranquil, and so on, who is to be apprehended independently by his own peculiar signs. That sign of him who has no signs is like what the pervading heat is of fire, the purest taste of water, thus say some. It is speech, hearing, sight, mind, breath, thus say others. It is intellect, retention, remembering, knowledge, thus say others. Now all these are signs of the self in the same sense in which here on earth shoots are the signs of seed, or smoke, light, and sparks of fire. And for this they quote, "As the sparks from fire, and as the rays from the sun, so do the prana and everything else proceed again and again from him here on earth. From him indeed, who is abiding within his supreme self, come forth all pranas, speech and so on, all worlds, all Vedas, all deities and all beings. This is the Upanishad, revelation, the truth of the truth. As from a fire of green wood, when kindled, clouds of smoke come forth by themselves, though belonging to the fire, so from that great being has been breathed forth all this which is the Rig Veda, the Yajur Veda, the Sama Veda, the Atharva Veda, the Itihasa, epics, the Purana, accounts of the creation, and so on, Vidya, ceremonial doctrines, the Upanishads, the Slokas, verses interspersed in the Upanishads, and so on, the Sutras, compendious statements, the Anuvyanas, explanatory notes, the Vyakhyanas, elucidations, all these things are his. This fire with 5 bricks is the year, and its 5 bricks are spring, summer, rains, autumn, winter. And by them the fire has a head, 2 sides, a center, and a tail. This earth here is the first sacrificial pile for Prajapati, who knows the Purusha, the Viraj. It presented the sacrificer to Vayu, the wind, by lifting him with the hands to the sky. That Vayu is Prana, Hiranyagarbha. Prana is Agni, and its bricks are the 5 vital breaths, Prana, Vyana, Apana, Samana, Udana. And by them, the fire has a head, 2 sides, a center, and a tail. This sky here is the second sacrificial pile for Prajapati, who knows the Purusha. It presented the sacrificer to Indra by lifting him with the hands to heaven, that Indra is Aditya, the sun. That Indra is the Agni, and its bricks are the Rik, the Yajus, the Saman, the Atharvangirasas, the Itihasa, and the Purana, and by them the fire has a head, two sides, a tail, and a center. This heaven is the third sacrificial pile for Prajapati, who knows the Purusha. With the hands, it makes a present of the sacrificer to the knower of the Supreme Self, Prajapati. Then the knower of the Supreme Self, lifting him up, presented him to Brahman. In him, he becomes full of bliss and joy. As a fire without fuel becomes quiet, dies in its own place, so do the thoughts, when all activity ceases, become quiet in their own source. Even in a mind which loves the truth and has gone to rest in itself, there arise, when it is deluded by the objects of sense, wrongful thoughts resulting from former acts. For thoughts alone cause the round of births. Let a man strive to purify his thoughts. What a man thinks, that he is. This is the old secret. By the serenity of his thoughts, a man blots out all actions, whether good or bad. Dwelling within his self with serene thoughts, he obtains imperishable happiness. If the thoughts of a man were so fixed on Brahman as they are on the things of this world, who would not then be freed from bondage? The mind, it is said, is of two kinds, pure and impure. Impure from the contact with lust, pure when freed from lust. When a man, having freed his mind from sloth, distraction, and vacillation, becomes, as it were, delivered from his mind, that is the highest point. The mind must be restrained till it comes to an end. That is knowledge. That is liberty. All the rest are extensions of the ties which bind us to this life. That happiness which belongs to a mind which by deep meditation has been washed clean from all impurity and has entered within the self cannot be described here by words. It can be felt by the inward power only. Water in water, fire in fire, space in space. No one can distinguish them. Likewise, a man whose mind has entered the self attains liberty. Mind alone is the cause of bondage and liberty for men. If attached to the world, it is bound. If free from the world, that is liberty. Therefore, those who do not offer the Agnihotra sacrifice, who do not lay the fires, who are ignorant of the mind being the cause of the round of births, who do not meditate on the self in the solar orb, are debarred from remembering the blissful, ethereal place of Brahman. Adoration to Agni, the dweller on earth, who remembers his world. Grant that world to this, thy worshipper. Adoration to Vayu, the dweller in the sky, who remembers his world. Grant that world to this, thy worshipper. Adoration to Aditya, the dweller in heaven, who remembers his world. Grant that world to this, thy worshipper. Adoration to Brahman, who dwells everywhere, who remembers his world. Grant that world to this, thy worshipper. The mouth of the true Brahman is covered with a golden lid. Open that, O Pushan, son, that we may go to the true one who pervades all. He who is the person in the sun, I am he. And what is meant by the true one is the essence of the sun, that which is bright, personal, sexless. A portion only of the light which pervades the space, which is, as it were, in the midst of the sun and in the eye and in the fire. That is Brahman. That is immortal. That is splendor. That is the true one. A portion only of the light which pervades the space, which is in the midst of the sun, the immortal of which Soma, the moon, and the vital breaths also are offshoots. That is Brahman. That is immortal. That is splendor. That is the true one, a portion only of the light which pervades the space, which in the midst of the sun shines as Yajus, that is, as Om, as water, light, essence, immortal, Brahman, Bhut, Bhuva, Svar, Om. The eight-footed, footnote, the eight points of the compass, end of footnote, the bright, the swan, bound with three threads, the infinitely small, the imperishable, blind to good and bad, with three threads, footnote, the three constituent factors, gunas, of prakriti, nature, end of footnote, the infinitely small, the imperishable, blind to all attributes, kindled with light, he who sees him sees everything. A portion only of the light which pervades the space are the two rays rising in the midst of the sun. That is the knower, the sun, the true one. That is the Yajus. That is the heat. That is Agni, fire. That is Vayu, wind. That is breath. That is water. That is the moon. That is bright. That is immortal. That is the place of Brahman. That is the ocean of light. In that ocean, the sacrifices are dissolved like salt, in oneness with Brahman. For all desires are there fulfilled. And here they quote, like a lamp, moved by a gentle wind, he who dwells within the divines shines forth. He who knows this, he is the knower. Who knows the difference between the high divines and the highest Brahman. Having obtained unity with it, he is identified with it. They who rise up in endless number, like spray drops from the sea, like lightnings from the light within the clouds in the highest heaven, they, when they have entered into the light of glory, Brahman, appear like so many flame crests in the track of fire.